It's time for Tiger Talk on Star 99. Tiger Talk is brought to you by the Open Canvas Dakota Bank, Hands On Health, and Grand Central. Now live from Pizza Ranch in Mobridge, here's Andy Hsu.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Pizza Ranch. And tonight, we're going to maybe have one, maybe two coaches with us. But we're going to start with the head girls basketball coach at Mobridge Pollock and Stefan Hedick. Stefan, thanks for coming out tonight and talking about your girls basketball team.
You bet. Thanks for having me. I appreciate any chance I can get to come talk about the girls and their efforts.
You know, and you guys are 2-2 right now. You've played some very competitive teams. One team right now in Class A is ranked number one. Another one should be way up there. And you got two relatively easy wins. But, you know, the weather really kind of played into this. You guys had some extra time to get in the gym and work things out. Health-wise right now, this is about the time of the year when one girl gets the flu and everybody on the team gets the flu. How are you guys doing that way?
Other than myself having a little bug the last couple of days, I haven't seen anything real noticeable in the girls as far as the illnesses, but we got a number of little bumps and bruises here and there from games and practices and all that stuff.
Last Friday when I was leaving the gym at Presentation College, I noticed that Mariah Gehring had a big ice pack on her shoulder. This is something that has been kind of bothering her for a couple of years now. Tell me the extent of this.
You know, it's an old injury that comes all the way back from her sophomore year. She took a nasty spill down in winter that year and resulted in a concussion. And there's some nerve issues or something that came along actually from that far ago. And, you know, it's really sad to somebody who's as dedicated to the game to have to deal with that day in and day out. But all the credit to Mariah, you know, she's just toughing it out, and she loves the game so much that she's fighting through pain all the time and doing everything that she can to do her best to continue to help the team and help us reach for our goals and work really hard. You know, she's got a lot of talent. So her ability to just try and do everything that she can to fight through that, we appreciate that a ton.
Yeah, you know, and you talk about toughness. You look it up in the dictionary, you're going to find a picture of her there. She's not only dealing with this, but in the past she's dealt with wrist issues and some other issues as well. And it seems like, you know, as much as she has sat out, she's also toughed through a lot of pain to play the game.
Yeah, it seems like there's always a finger or a hand or something going on with her. And, you know, the conversations you have with her, she's been a key part of this program for as long as I've been here now, and she just has to understand it, and it kills her to not be able to do things in practice every day because she always wants to be involved in getting better, and there's nobody around that puts more time into the gym and stuff like that than Mariah. So, but I've had good talks with her, and she understands that right now it's about doing everything we can to get her in the best shape that she can be on game time. If that means sitting out some reps in practice, you know, we know she understands the game, and we know this, and we know that she has the abilities to play. So it's about right now we're kind of just searching with her for that right combination of tape and Advil and ice and whatever, and the timing to just get it at its best so she's ready for game time.
Then we talk about Heidi Olson, and she's been your point guard for the last couple of years, and she's saddled with an injury as well. I had a chance to kind of talk to her, and she was talking about she has a upper leg injury, and it's kind of hampering her. It's like a pulled muscle or a torn muscle or something.
Yeah, she had a little bit of a muscle pull in that. It's a hip injury in that area. So she's been out a couple games. You know, and that's the conversations we've had with Heidi as well, as it has to be on the right timeline, you know, between her and her parents and physical therapists and all that. You don't want to, especially at this part of the season, you don't want to push too hard and aggravate somebody, something and injure it worse than, which is going to knock her out for a big part of the season. You know, you just have to take it day by day. And that's what she's been doing. She's been doing a great job communicating with me on how it feels and like I said, the therapist and whatever their suggestions are, that it's, you know, we want to win games and we want to do all this stuff, but it's also about the health and the mental health and the physical health of the kids and the athletes as well. So she did get back to practice today, and she's planning on dressing tomorrow. probably going to be in a little bit of a limited role depending on how long she can go, especially not having had as many reps lately. But it was just good to see her back on the floor and working her way back into things as well.
Yeah, and she's the kind of player that likes to push, 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 push. She's in constant flux and motion, it seems like. And so if you're not 100%, you can damage yourself even more if that's your character, if that's what you want to do is push the ball, and you're pushing your body to extremes that it probably won't take.
Yeah. And you know, she's got a motor that goes, but also to her credit with this particular situation, and the maturity's coming around, and she also understands that the overall health. So you might have to give a little bit now in order for the long-term goals of the team and as well as her long-term goals. You know, she's obviously successful in a lot of other things.
We talked about the record 2-2, and we talked about some of the teams you've played, and if nothing else, you've got some experience against some of the top tier teams in the state.
Absolutely. You know, I hope nobody's getting too concerned or bailing out on the team this season. You know, we are at a 2-2 record, but that's just through four games, and the way the season laid out, it was a little bit front loaded with competition. You know, we're always looking for better competition. I think that's been a weakness of the program in the past, is we just kind of have a soft schedule at times, and you never have to play tougher teams. So we're always looking to add that, and we added Sistine a couple years ago, and then we were actively trying to find a way to play Lakota Tech, because that's a great program. It's a great team. You know, they're a very physical team, and that's a different style than we're used to seeing. So part of it is getting those experiences against those teams so that when we're hopefully rolling down the stretch in February and trying to make it to a postseason run and make a state tournament, you know, I've talked to the girls about this too. Whatever happens in these games, it's about being battle tested and having those experiences. And the two losses that we have out of four games, if you go look at the seed points right now, Sistine is tied for number one overall in the state. They're on a roll. They're a great team. And Lakota Tech has only one loss. They're right up there. They have only one loss, and that loss is to an undefeated Red Cloud team who's solid. So really, the two losses out of our four games are to two of the best teams in the state. And I know they maybe look like lopsided losses. The Sistine one was, 18, 20 points, whatever it ended up being. But you also have to remember that in that game we made some adjustments, and we actually beat them in the second half. And that wasn't due to substitutions or anything like that. They didn't have that many players. So we played against their starters. We outscored them in the second half. And we outscored Lakota Tech in the third quarter as well. So there's stretches, there's moments, where the girls are realizing, and, you know, Coach Chemnitz and I have always known that we can play with any, you know, that we're firm believers we can play with anybody in the state, but, we've shown that there's stretches that we can play with these guys. It's just, we've got a lot of young kids coming into these games, and we're still kind of learning our thing. And, seems like in those two losses, one of the patterns is we kind of get backed into a corner before we come out fighting. So it's about, it's also about the girls finding that drive early rather than having to fight back. And if we can play like we have played at times for a whole game, we know that we can be right in it with anybody in the state. And we've showed that at times.
And I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm glad you brought up the younger girls coming in. It seems like you've got a freshman class that comes in and they add a real spark to the team and the program when they're in there. These girls are playing like they played varsity ball for 4 years. You know, I don't see any fear in their eyes. I don't see any hesitation. I saw Blake Thompson, Tegan Conald, and Faith Heil really play, substantial minutes for you, and against a team that was being, you know, really, really aggressive, and they had no fear at all.
Yeah, jumping back to a comment I made before, that Tech game was maybe the most physical girls game I've seen in my life, if not right up there, you know. And that happens to be, you know, sometimes you get a reffing crew that kind of lets it slide, and along with a physical team, and that everything lines up and it just turns into one of those games. And that's one of the adjustments that we had to try to make, is to pick up that toughness that we're not used to. But back to the main topic is those young girls coming in. They do a great job. You know, they're just playing. It's something about a freshman mentality. You come out there, you got nothing to lose. So just go all over, go after it. And what a great group of girls in that class. to go out there. They've got all the drive, and they just have a love for the game that shows, and careless and selfless and just wanting to get out there and play and love the game, and that's huge. That's also huge for the team in general, and I think the girls are understanding that you need those girls to push you and help you, take the pressure off of some of the other girls, as well as your lead girls have to be out there setting an example and getting it done as well. So that dynamic as we start to meld together is really exciting.
I've been watching the last couple of nights, and I want to make a comment about Emma Keller. Emma has been kind of hesitant, in my opinion. I know there's more in her, and it seems like she's hesitant to take the shot or to take the ball to the basket. She's looking to pass before she's ever looking to score, and it doesn't seem like the same Emma that we've seen the last couple of years, 3-4 years.
Yeah, you know, I've seen that a little bit, but we've had good talks and good moments with Emma. Emma's still a leader on the team always. Great athlete, dedicated athlete. The joke is always that if you can get her to smile, it's a special day. Yeah. But, you know, I think part of the reason that she looks that way is Emma's focus. She's a competitor. I want to give a shout out to her, ton of credit. Was it last night or two nights ago? She actually signed her letter of intent.
That is cool.
To play college volleyball for Dakota Wesleyan. So I think I read somewhere that 7% of high school athletes ever play in college. So to be a part of that group, that's awesome for her. But, you know, it's a transition from volleyball, which is obviously her forte, into basketball. She'll get it going, you know, in her career for all these years. She's had those stretches, ups and downs, but we're really excited for her tomorrow. Honestly, she's had three straight days, I think, of great practice this week. Some of the best practice I think she's had all year. So she'll be able to get that going, and whether she's scoring or not, she's out there, you know, she's competing and she's wanting to win, and she's going to do everything you ask her to. She'll run through a wall if you need her to. Another thing about Emma is, as far as a girl just taking any role you ask her to, you know, she's kind of stuck in the middle. Sometimes, depending on the lineup, she might have to play a guard spot. Sometimes she might have to try to play a post spot, as undersized as we are. And it doesn't matter. I could ask her to walk up and be the assistant coach one game. If you ask her to do it, she's going to do absolutely whatever she can to do the best she can at that job that she's asked to do.
I got to touch on Emily Hudson-Buehler for just a few moments. It seems like she's really come into her own this year. The aggression's there, the wanting to get the ball to the basket, rebounding defense. She's really come leaps and bounds from when I saw her as a freshman to today. I mean, it is amazing to me to see the talent finally come out of Emily.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, she's one of the most talented skill-wise basketball players that I've ever had the opportunity to coach, and just a natural ability. You know, she can find a gap, slide in underneath people and find different areas, just kind of a natural ability to be a basketball player and have those skills. And she's kind of been labeled as a timid player for a number of years, kind of the way she played. But I agree, this year she's really stepped up and found some aggression inside, and she's catching the ball, ripping and looking to attack the inside. And that's huge. And we're really excited about the way she's playing as well.
Then what can you not say about Charlie Henderson? Charlie is one of those girls that is a complete package. She's got a nice outside shot. She gets to the basket aggressively. She plays good defense. She rebounds. She gets to the foul line, and she rarely misses at the foul line, except for when I jinx her and say, hey, Charlie's 8-for-8 tonight, and then she misses the ninth one. And I want to apologize up front to you and the whole team for doing that, but she's a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, she's a rock star. She's I knew she had the ability this year to step up and be a huge key role player for us, or a key player for us, and we really needed that. You know, having lost actually her older sister Landon last year, being the closest thing we had to size, that's a role that we've kind of had to fill by association. You know, we play Emily a little bit bigger than she is. We have to play Charlie, Emma a little bit bigger than she is, but they're all stepping up. You know, we talked about Emily. A guy doesn't realize until you start digging through the stat report. She played a limited number of minutes in that Tech game due to some foul trouble, and she still led us with 8 rebounds against a very physical team. I mean, that's awesome. And then back to Charlie, you know, knew she was going to get there this year, but honestly wasn't sure that she was going to start out with as much spark and as huge as she is. She's led us in scoring, I think, every game. She's just out there. And that versatility is huge, because when you see these teams that have multiple bigs, well, one of them's going to have to guard Charlie. Well, the fact that she can catch and hit a three-pointer, and then all of a sudden that defender has to slide out tighter on her on the perimeter, and then the next time she catches it, she can rip and just drive right by her. That's a huge for her to be able to be that versatile. God bless her in that that game against Lakota Tech. She was getting bumped and bruised and pushed and shoved and battled all over the place, and she just kept on battling. You know, by the end, I can't imagine that night she didn't lay down in bed and feel like she just got hit by a train multiple times, but she battled her way through and fought and did everything she could to continue fighting and trying to win the game.
Can I get you to stay for the second half?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to continue with Coach Hedick. We've got more to talk about, including tomorrow night's Miller game. And that's coming up after this break right here on Tiger Talk on Star 99.
For all of your personalized sports gear, there is only one place, the Open Canvas. From shirts to hats and everything in between, the Open Canvas has it covered. If you're a Tiger, Wolverine, Panther, or whatever team you support, get the gear you need at Open Canvas. If you need banners or vinyl signs, the Open Canvas can do that also, with skill and imagination. There's only one place to get your gear, and it's the Open Canvas in Mobridge.
Go get 'em, Tigers. Grand Central Station of Mobridge wants to take this time to wish the Tigers the best this season. Grand Central Station is here for all of your tires, oil changes, convenience items, bait, and of course, gas or diesel. They look forward to serving you in the future. More great things like their new car wash will be coming soon, too. Stop by and check out all the new changes. Good luck, players, this season and in the future from the friendly staff at Grand Central Station in Mobridge.
No one has a handbook for what we're living through today, which is why the experience you have access to makes all the difference in how you make it to tomorrow. For decades, Dakota Bank has worked with ag producers through industry, economic, and regional changes. We're committed to agriculture. We're committed to the producers and families that make our communities great. Go with commitment, experience, and integrity. Dakota Bank, banking, insurance, mortgage, and trust. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Insurance and trust not FDIC insured.
Hands On Health, a supporter of the Mobridge Pollock Tigers, and our certified therapists are here to help you stay in the game. If an injury does knock you out, you can count on our therapists to use the latest research and hands-on treatment to help you recover and get back to the sport that you love. Stay updated on our Hands On Health Facebook page. From our team at Hands On Health to yours, best of luck in your upcoming game.
Let's go, Tigers!
Hey, welcome back here to the Pizza Ranch in Mobridge. And Coach Hedick's been kind enough to stick around for the second half. We were going to talk cheerleading, but the cheerleading advisor got busy tonight and didn't make it out. So thank you so much for sticking around.
You bet. My pleasure. It's like I said, any opportunity I can have to talk about this team, I love what I do. So
yeah,
I love talking about
it. You know, and I've known that for a long time. I remember when you were the JV coach of the boys, and you were talking about making this move and taking over the girls program. And I thought, well, if there's somebody that's more dedicated to a program than Stefan Hedick, I don't know who it is. And it's a selfless task. My wife and I were talking about you and all the hours that you put in. There are weekends where you'd like to have a little time to yourself, but in the long run, it's kind of a thankless and time consuming venture. And you're gone all weekend. You're riding what Pat Morrison used to call the Hemorrhoid Express. It's something that if you're not in it for the long run, you may as well not be coaching.
Yeah, I appreciate your kind words. It was a decision that I made a few years ago, and it honestly, looking back, it's one of the best decisions I made. The girls have It's just been super rewarding to get to work with these girls every day, and they're so dedicated and so motivated, and they just want to learn, and they just want to get better, and they just want to win, and just doing everything I can to try to help them and find ways to get better every day and work with them. And it's just the ability to see them improve day in and day out. And, you know, some of the, you get a close win or a win over a big rival, you know, we've gone from, there's no question that the program was a little bit down, and that's not me trying to talk myself up. That's me trying to talk these group of girls I've had the last few years up, you know, that we've gotten more and more wins every year. And just to see them grow out of that where they were, and to see the smiles on their faces and the rewards that they get when we start winning these games. A couple of years ago, we made a SODAC 16. And as we grow and we continue to tackle one goal at a time, that's the reward, you know, and that's what makes it worth the time that it takes. It takes a lot of time, but it's worth it.
And you got to give a little credit to Katie and Jesse Conold. You got to give a credit to Ryan Chemnitz. You know, the people that are working with the youth and bringing the youth to you that are basketball ready by the time they get to your level.
Well, 100%. You know, that's the strength of the program comes out of the feeder programs, too. If you're getting them as freshmen and they can't chew gum and walk at the same time, you're going to have a lot of trouble winning basketball games. So I've got great feeder coaches. I've got a list that, and on a note card that sits right on my computer monitor, and it's just got their contact information all the way down, I think, to the second grade feeder coach. And I just kind of make it a point to reach out to them, and if there's anything I can do to help them. But they all do a great job. You know, Ryan Chemnitz is my assistant. A shout out to him. He puts in all the time and scouting and all that stuff. And he's also coaching one of the younger fourth or fifth grade teams. And then Katie in the middle school, and then other people around, you know, there's just always some parent who's willing to step up and grab their daughter's class and just get them involved and get them going. And I appreciate that a ton.
I think Coach Holmstrom and I talked about it in the fall about how high school sports is a community. It can't be just the coach, just the players. It has to be everybody, you know, in a concerted effort to make a program successful.
Well, absolutely. You know, everybody in the community, and anytime these girls can get recognition from the businesses, from the radio station, the newspaper, all that stuff, it's huge. Just getting the word out there. Tell you what, they work their butts off every single day. They deserve all the recognition in the world for what they're doing and the basketball that they're playing. And I appreciate all the love that they get from the Tiger community.
Let's talk about what's coming up. You got Miller coming up tomorrow night. I remember you talking a lot about a list that you had, kind of a hit list, teams that you want to beat before you will ever even think about retirement. And on that list is Miller, right?
Yeah, Miller's on the list. We're down to three. We're down to three teams. Three teams that we haven't beat. That would be in the last 3 years since I took over. And I wouldn't say it's really necessarily my hit list, but I view that partly as a just a measurement of the program. You know, where the program was, there was a big number of schools that had a long win streak against Mobridge, and that was always a game that they could look at it winning. So just the idea that within 3 to 4 years, if there's nobody that we haven't beat, it just kind of tells me that the program's building success, you know, that we're up there and we're competing with everybody on the schedule. You know, that being said, we're talking about our regular scheduled opponents who we play year in and year out. So there's only three on there left, and I think that we've got a good chance to get maybe all three of those this year. But, you know, those are little goals along the way. Obviously, the ultimate goals are just getting better every year and taking it one step farther and making those postseason runs.
Well, and so we're going to get back to Miller. I know that you're one of those coaches that likes to watch a little film and do a little scouting. Miller has been tough. We saw their volleyball team, very successful volleyball team. And usually when athletes play volleyball well, they transfer that athleticism into the basketball court. What do you know about this Miller team?
Yeah, they're very good. If we remember last year, it was a very competitive battle up here in Mobridge, and we ended up it was one that I think about often, you know, put it on me or put it on whatever. We had the ball with 20 to 30 seconds left in a tie game, and we couldn't execute for whatever reason on that play, and then we went into overtime and ended up losing it. But it was a very – it was a tough battle. It was a well-fought battle, and as it always has been in the last few years with Miller, it's a good rivalry. We're both in the Big Dakota Conference. We're both in Region 6A, and honestly, I would say looking at what's going on within 6A, I would say the region has to belong to either us or Miller by the end, and probably the maybe the conference too. You know, you add a few more opponents in when you talk about Big Dakota versus the region, but they're a tough team. They have pretty much everybody back from that team last year, and they had a lot of success last year. So, you know, if we can't get excited and pumped up to go play this game with as much as I just talked about, as much as it means, then I don't know what you can get excited about.
Saturday, you take that long trip out to, well, it's not even to Sisseton, it's past Sisseton, new agency to take on Tio Spezina. I can't remember what kind of game that was last year, but I think you guys got the W, didn't you?
Yeah, we got the W in that one pretty easy last year. They were kind of down last year, but that was a new one on the schedule that year as well. But looking at the records and stuff right now, they're having a little trouble this year, but you never know.
Yeah.
You know, you can never overlook anybody. And so especially coming off of what I would expect to be a very competitive battle on a Thursday and having one day off and then getting on the bus again. And so you got to be ready to play anybody on any given night, and you got to show up focused and ready to roll. So, we're going to take it one game at a time, obviously, and we're focused right now, really focused on Miller. And then we'll move on to that one when we need to.
Tomorrow night is an early start for the JV. They're going to go at 4:00, but they're playing girls, boys, all in the same gym. They're not going to separate the girls and boys JV out to two different gyms. So it's a lot of sitting through until you get a chance to get on the floor. Probably more so for the varsity boys than you guys, but it's one of those things where you get on the bus, I don't know, 12:30, 12:45, you drive all the way to Miller, then you sit through two JV games before you ever get a chance. How does that wear on a team?
You know, it's not the best, but it is what it is. You know, as a high school basketball team, that's what it is. And sometimes they got to come to us and sit. Sometimes we got to go to them and sit. And for whatever reason, seems like they can't find workers or whatever to be able to have those JVs at the same time. But we just got to take the hand that's dealt us and show up. And, you know, the girls can get down during halftime of the previous game, get themselves up, moving around, whatever, be active. And, you know, the biggest thing I think before that is mental focus. So when it's coming up to that game time, you know, we've got a good scout on Miller. We know what they try to do, and they just have to turn on the focus mentally. We got great athletes, so they'll come out physically ready to roll.
And if this turns out to be another physical game, you guys should be well prepared for it.
Yeah, that's part of the message that came to the girls after that Lakota Tech game is, you got to view that as an opportunity to see how basketball's played in different parts of the state, because if we want to be a state tournament team, state championship team, there's different styles in different parts of the state, and we might not be used to playing that way, but if you're going to get there, you're going to have to learn to play that way. So it's about, I guess the word I've used with the girls is battle tested. You know, you go into those games, you learn something new, and you're just a little bit more battle tested for the next one. So if you can continue to step up and play more and more physical in that way, that's going to be advantage you even more so when you get against a team that's not as physical as them.
Yeah, a great coach told me one time, if you want to win a championship, you got to play championship quality programs in order to get ready for that. And if you can't beat them, then how do you ever expecting to win a championship?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you can sign up a bunch of teams who are struggling on your schedule and walk around and say you win 20 games, but did you really? You know, is that something to be proud of? If you're an early exit in the postseason, you're just going to walk out and struggle against the first real competition you see, I don't think you really accomplished anything. It's not about the wins and loss record. You know, you talked earlier about me and my career, and I honestly couldn't care less. You know, I expect it to be a good number of years yet before I decide to hang up my whistle. I'm having a lot of fun working with the girls. But when I walk out, it's about the girls and the program and the successes that they've had. Hopefully we've got some opportunities to play and compete in some state tournaments. And Whether at that point I have any idea what my win-loss record is, I couldn't care less.
But
we had the opportunity to compete and get better each day.
And I remember a long time ago talking with Doug Groth, who coached a long time at Selby Area High School. And he said the exact same thing. You know, I don't really care that, you know, I'm the winningest coach. And I what I care about is I know that the girl that played for me 15 years ago, she's now moved on and she's a lawyer. She's a doctor. She's got a family and a ranch and so on and so forth. It was always about, you know, success at the next level, whether it be playing basketball in college or whether it be being a very successful human being. And I think that's what he cared about more than anything. Winning was just kind of an offshoot.
Yeah, Doug's obviously a legend. And he had a little bit different ability than us. He could win a game 4-2 if he wanted to. He didn't have shot clock and things like that. I think that's what he was famous for, but that four-corner offense. But, yeah, that's exactly right. It's when you look back, the thing is about high school athletics, whether you win, lose, draw, or whatever. I mean, you called games for me, and we were not a very successful program when I played in high school, but if you look at the win and loss column. But I look back at my old teammates, and we're successful. Good people, have families and faith and all that type of things. And that's what's important. And it's the relationships you make and it's the fighting through adversity and the life lessons that you learn in the process of high school athletics. That's what's important. You know, I got a little drawer, a little collection of some of the messages I've gotten already in these first few years from seniors as they depart, you know, messages of thanks. And that's what makes it worth it.
Well, I think you'll even find it more rewarding when 20 years from now, one of them is going to, you know, contact you and say, Coach, I have this situation. Can you give me advice? And I think that's probably why a lot of coaches stay in the game as long as they do, because they get those kids that are just great kids. And they're going to look back on this as, you know, not only did I, progress a great program, but I provided the community with some great adult young ladies.
Yeah. Yep. You learn those lessons and you build those relationships, and 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, I hope I continue to have those relationships. But, you know, honestly, this is only my fourth year with the program, and I already have former players who reach out to me from time to time and call or a text or, if they're asking for a letter of recommendation for a job or and even some of the ones I was assistant for with the boys, you know, and that's, I take pride in that, you know, that tells me that I must have had some sort of a positive effect on that kid, and that's why I do it.
All right. I tell you what, we are out of time, but I want to remind the folks that are headed to Miller tomorrow, JV ball. The girls' JV starts at 4 o'clock. Yep. Followed by the boys JV, then you guys go, and then the boys varsity go. Could be an interesting evening in Miller. That's always a fun place to go and play basketball, but looking forward to a great night of basketball. Thank you, Coach. And again, thank you very much for staying the whole half hour and talking basketball with us.
No problem.
Appreciate it. And that's Tiger Talk. We want to say thank you to the folks here at the Pizza Ranch for hosting us. And make sure that when you hear the sponsors on this show, that you get downtown and say thank you to all of them. From Eric Schroyer back at the studio, I'm Andy Hsu. This has been Tiger Talk on Star 99.
This has been Tiger Talk on Star 99. Join Andy Hsu next Wednesday at 7 p.m. for another Tiger Talk. Brought to you by Grand Central, Hands-On Health, Dakota Bank, and The Open Canvas. This has been a production of Star 99 Sports.